Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome to another episode of the German Football Podcast, and we're back this week after we had a bit of an enforced break last week just due to other commitments, so apologies to any disappointed fans that didn't get their German Football Podcast fix last week, but we're back this week and you'll maybe appreciate it a bit more because you didn't hear us last week. But I will introduce my two co-hosts. Firstly, Roy, how's it going? How are you?
Not bad. Feeling very tired this week. It's been a long week, but it's international break, so I think my workload might go down a wee bit this week, by the end of the week, and get a weekend off the first time in a while, so I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, not too bad at all. Watched a lovely nothing each draw at the weekend to keep my spirits high. But apart from that, yeah, doing well.
Good stuff. And we're also joined this week by Ronan. He's made a comeback this week, no doubt, to gloat about his very impressive fantasy football performance. Where did you finish it in the world, Ronan?
I finished fifth this week. I thought I was third, but then they decided to give Zentner, the Mineskeeper, three more points, so two people overtook me, so I finished fifth. So I've been scammed out of a prize.
Scammed out of that plastic Hoffenheim bottle that you're probably going to get sent in the post. But and speaking of Hoffenheim, that's probably where we'll start with their game on the Friday night. Dortmund 3, Hoffenheim 2. A brilliant game, end to end. Just when Hoffenheim thought they'd secured a point, Erling Haaland scored the winner in the last minute. Roy, Dortmund saved by their attack. Thought defensively poor yet again. That just tends to be a running theme. I think they look particularly short in the right back and centre back areas. I mean, Meunier was playing right back, but what did you think? It was such a relief for Dortmund to get the win, but did you think it was quite a concerning performance?
Yeah, and I think that's why it might not seem it, but Grčić coming in today, as we recorded this on deadline day, that might actually give them a bit more stability and an extra person to keep them going up. But yeah, it was quite poor defensively. But for me, the one thing I'm going to take out of this was the performance from Jude Bellingham. Everything I saw from this game that Jude Bellingham did was unreal. There was like that moment where he kept in the corner and he's got this kind of never say die attitude. But I'm really impressed with him, and I think he's going to become a lot better than some people already portray him. And he's already portrayed really as a really good young talent. I think he may be one of the best in the world eventually. He's got one of the best attitudes I've ever seen from a young football player. And getting that goal as well was just really impressive for him. So all in all, he had a good day, and he was my captain for fantasy, so he made me look great. So that's not the reason I'm picking him out, but I was just really impressed with that. And also, Haaland just being there at the end, that's what he's going to be there to do all season, and that's why he's going to be so pivotal for them.
Yeah, good to point out Bellingham. I think he's the first three games he's excellent. Even in the Freiburg game, I think he was one of the couple of Dortmund players that you could actually give him pass marks for his performance. He's definitely maturing very quickly considering his age. You mentioned the Pongracic signing. Not too sure of that, and he's not exactly a player that's been regular with Wolfsburg. I know he's had fitness issues, and I think he suffered from COVID as well. I thought they needed more in defence. He's predominantly a centre-back, but I thought they could have done with a bit more cover at right-back. Meunier looked pretty poor, and I think he has done since he signed for Dortmund. And we spoke about the criticism Felix Paslak was getting for his opening couple of displays this season. But we'll lay off Felix. We'll lay off him this time. Ronan, you like Hoffenheim. You like your Hoffenheim. You bought your Hoffenheim shirt. It was a classic football shirts shop down south. What did you think of Hoffenheim? I did tip them to do well this season, and they have really made an impressive start. I think they're very unlucky to not get a point in this game. What did you think?
I think, well, you spoke about some of the areas that Dortmund need to strengthen. I think one that they have is the goalkeeper. I thought Kobel had a really good game. I seem to remember him making at least three really important saves where, if that was last season and Burkey or Hitz were in goal, Hoffenheim might have added a couple more. So that's certainly one area that they improved. And just to give a bit of context to the Hoffenheim thing before I get slagged off for it, I've just started like a collection of like German football shirts. I've got about six or seven, and then I was down in Manchester and I thought I'd raid classical football shirts for any cheap German tops that were on the go, and the only team they had that I didn't in the cheap section was Hoffenheim, so I just took it for 20 quid.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm saying this, but I'm sure on our last recording I was wearing a Hoffenheim top, so not gonna slag you too much. But I thought they did well. I thought the goal was coming towards the end. They really did have Dortmund on the back foot, and as you said, Kobel with those good saves. They had a really aggressive approach to the game. That straight from the off, they were a couple of yellow cards early on, and I think that did get to Dortmund, that very physical approach to the game that they took. But moving on from that Friday game, which, to be honest, was probably a highlight of the weekend, but there are still a good few games on the Saturday as well. So I'll go to Roy again for Köln versus Bochum, and it's quite refreshing to see this new, bold and exciting Köln as opposed to the dreary side that you've seen for the last, I don't know, 5 years, pretty much. Last few years of Köln, it makes a refreshing change.
Yeah, and it's weird. I think I should slate them more often, because I obviously slated them at the start of the season, saying if they start with Modest up front, they're never going to score goals. And what they're doing, they're scoring goals and they're actually winning games. It's mental. They obviously took the lead early on as well, but that was called off for VAR later on for a handball. But from what I saw watching the conference, they looked quite comfortable at the time. Both of them didn't look terrible either, which kind of credit to them. I think, like we said, they won't badly struggle, but they're not going to exactly do well either. And that's, maybe this is a type of game, we don't know what Cologne side we're seeing at the moment, but this is also a game that they probably were looking at, maybe we could pick up a point or two here. Well, they can't pick up 2 points obviously, knowing the laws of football, but you know what I mean by that. That's just a anyway, before I say something stupid again. Good to see Tim Lamperlo got on the score sheet again. Young guy. Another thing that's really prominent about Köln is bringing through the young talent. And also the resurgence of Louis Schaub, which I'm very excited about, because I was ranting and raving about him years ago. And then he has spent like a year at Hasfar. He spent 6 months at Hasfar. He spent 6 months in Switzerland. And it's actually good to see him getting game time again and actually been recognised as an SA Köln player again, which is good. So it's looking pretty decent. But like I said, I'm not overly concerned about Bochum as well after that. I don't know if I just determines both teams, but FC Köln are looking pretty decent at the moment, and to be sitting in a European spot already, just end the season.
Yeah, I mean, it did take a while for the goal to go in. I think it was 82, the Schaub goal, but granted, Köln did score a disallowed goal in the first half. They got off that fly in the game, but without them getting the opener, Bochum did grow into the game a wee bit. But I don't think Bochum really looked too dangerous, and it looked like the game was petering out a wee bit. Yeah, I don't know what you thought, Ronan. I mean, not too concerning for Bochum, really, as Roy said. The way Köln have started the season, I think it is one of the tougher games, going to the atmosphere of the stadium as well, playing away from home. They seem to have, it seems to have refreshed them this new season with the fans coming in, the new coach. What did you think?
I think Köln have been kind of a lot better now that they've got Florian Kainz back in the team regularly. He seems to have made a big difference. Two goals and an assist already, and picked up me 15 fantasy points as well, so get him in. But no, he's been really good for them, because I think he only played less than 10 games last year and struggled for that creative spark. So now that he's back, seems to be putting him in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's good seeing Kainz perform well, but Modest as well. He's got a new lease of life under Baumgart. It's good to see him getting starts, because really just didn't seem fancied by previous coaches. And just throughout his second spell, it's just been quite unsuccessful. So even into his 30s now, it's good to see him get back into the goals. Not that he scored today, but not that he scored at the weekend, but he's becoming a key part of the side again, which is good to see. So another one of the promoted sides, Greuther-Fürth went to Mainz. And I mean, I think it just continues what we're starting to see, what we've seen so far from Fürth, that they're probably going to be the whipping boys this season in the league, the side with the lowest budget, that probably the weakest squad, and they've gone to Mainz and lost 3-0. But we Scottish connection, Ronan, Cedric Eaton from Rangers signed on a loan deal today. We're speaking on deadline day. Do you think that'll make much of a difference? I mean, they've got Hargota, they've got Howard Nielsen. Do you think Eaton, Swiss international, to be fair, is going to help improve for its situation, or can you see them still being destined for relegation?
I don't know. It's quite a big jump for him, because for what we've seen at Rangers, he's pretty much just came off the bench for most of his appearances. So it's kind of hard to tell what kind of level he's actually at. So I don't know. I think it does look like, as well, from their start to the season, that they'll struggle. It's quite a big ask for him to come in, because the teams that they've played so far as well, obviously Stuttgart put 5 past them, Mainz put 3 past them, and they drew at home to Bielefeld, which was probably a game they needed to target to get 3 points from. So yeah, I can't really disagree with anything you've said so far.
Yeah, it's not exactly been... Sorry, Roy.
Eaton has only scored goals against Motherwell. Like, that's, if Motherwell's the standard of goals, I don't think he's going to be scoring as many in the Bundesliga. No, joking aside, I mean, I think it was 6 goals for Rangers and 4 of them were against Motherwell. So, like Ronan said, he comes off the bench and he's not really been given a chance. So, you don't really know what you're going to get from him. But from what he did in the Swiss League, because we're all, you know, very, very prominent in the Swiss League after a Gerard Sione connections, George would be know so much of Cedric Eaton, actually. But yeah, I think it's going to be quite difficult for him to come into a team that's struggling after being in a team that's expected to win every week, which will be quite interesting to see how he, if he brings that kind of mentality into the squad.
Yeah, I mean, it has been tough for Rangers, but there must be something about him. They did well in the Swiss League and he's played internationally for them. I think it's just been a case of, I mean, Rangers, obviously it's a lower standard than the Bundesliga, but they had a good side. They've shown that in Europe, as much as I hate to say it. I don't know why I'm talking about Rangers. Let's just move on. Move on to Mainz. We prefer Mainz to Rangers, but 3-0 win. Svensson continues his strong showing as coach of Mainz. Although we've seen from Stuttgart the start of the season that they've had after the Fürth hammering, that perhaps there's not too much that you can read into it, that perhaps it's just a case of Fürth being quite weak. But I thought Mainz played some attractive stuff in the first half, Roy.
Yeah, no, it's obviously going to be a game that if they don't get 3 points, they'll be really disappointed. But you've also just... That's a game that Mainz have got back three, like with the back kind of five that they play. They've got that back three. They're going to be really solid against the Fürth side, and you're really not expecting them to even concede a goal against them just because of the way they play as well. And they're just really, like you said, they play attractive stuff. Interesting to see Sorloy getting himself another goal. I still don't believe he's a football player. I don't know. I talk about him just every time I look at him. He just doesn't look like a football player. And he just sometimes just pops up with a goal, and you just wonder, like, how he managed to do it.
Such disrespect. He's a Bundesliga legend.
But you know what I mean, though? He's just one of those players. You just kind of wonder how he's still like getting a Bundesliga game. But he's still scoring the goals. Both Svensson doing some magic with him. Jason Lee got on as well, so it was interesting to see. Even I know it was quite late on, but it was interesting to see how he would be. And Kevin Stöger getting back into the swing of things as well. You know, he grabbed a goal coming on as a sub. I wonder if he'll manage to kick on this year with Mainz, because when he joined them last year, he never really got a right good goal in the team either. So it's an interesting squad, and like even just bringing off a couple of the subs that came on there, that's something Mainz haven't really had recently. So I think it's nothing to say the Mainz are going to go off and do amazingly after this result, but again, it was that wasn't a dig. Don't even think that was a dig. I think you're really expecting him to come off with a result there and a clean sheet, to be honest.
And so they delivered. So I don't think we need to talk much more about that game. Probably the most entertaining game of the, well, unless you could talk about the calamity own goals that happened in Augsburg versus Leverkusen, but we'll get onto that. Stuttgart versus Freiburg 2-3, Freiburg 1 after a crazy first half. Ronan, I don't know how much you saw this game, but just seemed like a mad game. Freiburg going 3-0 up just early on into the game at Stuttgart, pulling it back before half time. It wasn't enough, no more goals in the second half. Are we surprised by Freiburg's start at this point, or is it just par for the course going?
I don't know. I think majority of us tipped them to be in and around the top half again this year. So I don't think this came as a complete surprise. I don't think we'd have thought there'd been 3-0 up in half an hour, but I think this is a game you'd have thought there'd be plenty of goals involved, but maybe not so many straight away. But they do have a really kind of solid side. There's not any kind of real weaknesses in them, and they've always got goals in them, especially with the likes of Grifo in the side as well. So, no, they look like they're going to be pretty entertaining again this season, and possibly be kicking in around that top half.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was slightly less optimistic about them this season. I think just occasionally, like quite often, they do overachieve, but they have the odd season where they might be flirting with down the relegation zone. I thought they hadn't really made too many additions to the squad in terms of transfers. And there's the upheaval of them. They're not moving into the new stadium yet, but they will be doing shortly. Quite often, sides struggle with that. And we'll wait to see if that does happen. Sometimes it's hard for teams to move into a new ground. They sort of lose that home advantage. So they're not used to playing there. But yeah, they seem to have done well. I think the key is they've not really lost too many key players like Grifo. And you saw players like Jong and Huller perform at the weekend as well. But Stuttgart, Roy, I mean, it's slightly after such a flyer of a start that they had that hammering against Leipzig, and now they've lost at home to Freiburg, their near neighbours. Slightly less optimistic about them, or do you think they're suffering from the likes of the injuries Kalajdzic has had and Silas being out as well?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if they can rely. I know he's scored a couple of goals now, but I don't know if they can rely on Al Ghadiri up front to get them the goals. I'm not sure they can kind of rely on that. And I like the look of Klimovic and Förster, but I also think last season when you had Silas and like the Davi doing bits up there, and when Koulibaly was on form and stuff like that, it just kind of seemed to click a bit better than it's clicking so far this season. So I think it could take time, but I think the fact that most of their goals have come from defenders so far this season kind of tells you all you kind of need to know about their injury worries. Have a say on Freiburg. I think they're going to do really well, and I'm really surprised Ronan didn't mention Christian Günther and the minute time he spoke about Freiburg. I thought he would have mentioned really twice in that minute time. But he's obviously really prominent for them, and Flecken's actually done really well. I think he was one of the ones that when Florian Müller left and you're wondering where they're going to... It was Florian Müller, wasn't it? He went from Freiburg to...
He was on loan last season.
I was getting him mixed up with Zentner at Mainz. So, you know, with Flecken, with Müller last season on loan and leaving, and then Flecken having to come in, and kind of fill, maybe not big gloves to fill. Could you say big gloves for a goalkeeper? Does that make sense?
Go on.
We'll go for it. Makes sense. But they did have quite a reliable goalkeeper last year, so Flecken coming in and actually... He's played really well in every game so far, and he's made some decent saves. So I think it's good to see that's kind of becoming kind of natural to what it was last year as well with Freiburg. So I think I tipped them like 10th, but I don't know if they might be one of those teams that could sneak into the top 7, top 8 again.
I think as well, another thing that impressed with them is they lost Santa Maria, who I thought was pretty decent last year, and they've managed to replace him with Max Eggestein from Bremen, which is a pretty shrewd bit of business, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think Santa Maria, we all thought he was a really good signing last year when he came in and thought that would be quite a big loss, but they did that quickly in signing Eggestein. So they've continued the sort of theme of stability, which is, I think, it's really important in Freiburg, because whenever they struggle, it quite often tends to be because they have lost a lot of key players. But they've really avoided that so far this season with the transfer window shut, so they really have avoided that. But moving on from that, Armenia Bielefeld 1, Frankfurt 1. Solid start to the season for Armenia, but I think it's fair to say it's been disappointing so far from Glasner at Frankfurt. Roy, I'll go to you for this. What do you think about this? Do you think he's just going to grow into it, or do you think this is an area of concern for Frankfurt that they've made such a poor start? Are they suffering from the loss of Hütter?
Potentially, but again, it comes down to the fact that they've actually changed the squad around quite a lot, and it's probably just going to take them time to get that, because they've been going through spells of they've had Andre Silva as their main man, and everything goes through him, and Kamada and Kostic had a really good link up last season, and when Jovic came in as well, they created quite a good link up between the four of them, and then now they've had to change it up a wee bit. And you know, you're seeing Lindstrom and Hauge and Rafael Borre coming in as well, and it might just take them time to get used to it, because obviously Borre's not managed to bag himself a goal yet. And Kamada's been quite quiet, so I don't know if it's just the attacking sense they've been quite disappointing, because obviously their defence hasn't really changed too much, and defensive players with Sal in the middle and trapping goals, so it's not changing too much in that sense. I think it's just going to take them a while to start having that connection up front and scoring goals, but we know from Oliver Glasner is going to doesn't play the most attractive attacking football either, so I think it just might be to do with that as well. I'm not sure, but it's disappointing to say the least. But from the Bielefeld side, you saw how much it meant to them when the goal went in late on, with the celebrations at the dugout as well, with Frank Kramer and stuff. So I think they're doing the right things at the moment, and that's a really good point for them, to be honest. And what a season that everyone's kind of tipping them to do, not shit, but not great. So I think that's a really good point for them.
Yeah, it sort of just dawned on me that, like, obviously during the time they got promoted during COVID, they've not really, I mean, there was the much reduced crowds last season, but this was the first substantial crowd where they managed to celebrate a goal, because the first game against Freiburg, they obviously drew 0-0, but they had a proper chance to celebrate a goal, and you saw the euphoria in the stands, and it's great to see the Alm. I don't know what you thought, Rona. I mean, I think you, like Roy, tipped Frankfurt to be quite high in the league this season, but the signs aren't great so far. But are you sort of optimistic for them that they can turn it around?
I don't know. I think they're just maybe waiting for Santos Borre to get his first goal and get him kind of firing, because he's been Silva's replacement. He's still waiting for that first goal. And they were missing Kostic at the weekend as well. But I mean, there certainly wasn't any euphoria when I was sitting in my house on Saturday when this game came through, because it cost me £140 on a coupon. I had Frankfurt to win, and that was the only game that let me down. So the less said about that, the better. I do like the new Norwegian signing they have, that Jens Peter Haug. I was reading about him on Scouted Football back when he was in Norway. I think he was at Bodø Glimt he started out at, and I think I read in his profile that his expected goals and chances created is up there with one of the best in Europe, and he plays out wide rather than actually through the middle, so I think that really stood out. So maybe once we see him and Kostic kind of form some sort of partnership, they can get Santos Borre underway with the goals.
Yeah, I think that's been the main positive for them so far, the transfer business. That lost those players, but they do seem to have a good player in Hauge and Kostic to come back as well. I saw today there was a lot of speculation about him potentially going to Lazio. Seems to be rumours about him leaving all the time, but he's managed to stay, which is, I think, is a positive for him, just as long as he can continue his just as long as he wants to be there. Because I mean, you've seen with other players, you saw the likes of Rashica and Bremen, how much that cost them having a player that didn't want to be there, basically. But it's been a positive from that perspective. And the final Saturday afternoon game was Augsburg versus Leverkusen. And we were talking about this before we started recording, the ridiculous goals that happened in this. Probably the best of them was the opening, the Iago own goal. Do you want to give the rundown on that, Roy, and any other thoughts that you had from this game?
I don't really know what you're thinking. Like, I remember when you're young and you're playing football and your coach, like, you know, the one that always took it really seriously, even though you were like eight. Do you not remember the first thing he always taught you was, if in doubt, put it out or something, or just don't pass along your line, a goal line. Why is he shooting towards the goal? Like, generally, he's basically shooting towards, he's an absolute, I called Hinteregger a donkey last week. I mean, I think we'll get the new donkey of the week. Iago, unreal, like, why he decided to do that. It's just a calamity from the start, and to get two own goals in opening 15 minutes was unreal. And then obviously Niederlechner's goal was almost an own goal as well from the Bayer Leverkusen point of view. So you'd almost had three goals in 30 minutes that were all own goals. And it's just a weird game. Just a really weird game. The one thing I would say, the positive for Bayer Leverkusen, even though they won 4-1, is Florian Wirtz is back and he's scoring goals, which is really good for them. I think I always saw this in the conference because it was on after work. I also hear that Jeremy Frimpong is playing really well as well, and everyone's kind of raving about him at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we finally have a Scottish-German clash. And between Celtic and Leverkusen in the Champions League as well, which will be exciting to see. And they'll now be dubbed the Jeremy Frimpong Derby.
Can I mention that the Scottish/German clash would be happening in the Europa League? Some great draws in the Europa League. I thought it looks significantly more entertaining than the Champions League this season. But on the basis of Leverkusen's performances so far, that's going to be a really tough test. They did beat Rangers comfortably a couple of seasons ago. And I mean, maybe about that time that when they play Celtic in Europe, they'll have hit their classic Leverkusen inconsistent slump. But so far, the signs have been promising from the side. But Augsburg Ronin, that's another defeat at home with conceding four goals. I don't know if you had any thoughts on this game as well.
Yeah, I think, Augsburg, that's the second time they've conceded four at home as well. Getting beat 4-0 by Hoffenheim on opening day. And just with Leverkusen as well, Patrick Schick seems to have continued where he left off in his good form. And maybe they're a team that might now tip to do better than Frankfurt. Them and Wolfsburg seem to be the main two. Well, I suppose they're first and second in the league for a reason already.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good sign for Leverkusen. I mean, it's too early for you to say that they'll keep this consistency up and they'll be proper title challengers. But I think the early signs are promising that they will be serious contenders for the Champions League. They have missed out the last couple of seasons, but I think the signs look promising for this season.
Yeah, anyway. I think they play Dortmund next, which will be quite a good indicator of how they'll go.
Yeah, because I suppose they've had a reasonably favourable. Not to be fair, I was going to say they had a favourable start, but they went to Union and drew. Which, I mean, so far from what we've seen from Union as well, that's a decent point. And Hammer and Gladbach. So to be honest, this probably was the easiest game that they've had so far. But they've done well in all of them so far. And the so-called top spiel was Bayern versus Hertha. 5-0 hammering, probably. And I don't know if any of you saw this, but I didn't, and I'm not particularly disappointed that I didn't see it. Bayern blew Hertha away. Firstly, with Bayern, Ronan, what do you think? I mean, Lewandowski hat-trick, same old, but Musiala seems to be doing well and stepping up. I've seen a few people compare him to Zane, the sort of opposing trajectories that Musiala is doing so well and Hosani is continuing to struggle. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't go against that. I think they seem to be. I think Musiala is maybe above Sane in the pecking order now in the team, but I managed to see the majority of the game on Saturday night. It was pretty routine, to be honest. Bayern just absolutely bombarded Hertha for 90 minutes, basically. Lewandowski continues his... I think he's got a really good record against... I think in the same fixture last year, he scored 4. So, and this time got a hat-trick. So, yeah, it was just pretty... Bayern not their best, and Hertha just didn't really offer anything at all. It's kind of worrying for them again.
Yeah, I mean, I think my fears of for Hertha have sort of been realised, because a lot of people were thought they might, after struggling so much last year, thought they might bounce back a wee bit and head towards mid-table, maybe even towards the top half. But I was always a bit concerned for them, particularly with the transfer policy. I think that's continued since the season started, the sort of transfers that have been going on. They've lost Cordoba, Cunha, Lukaku's headed out on loan. Some of the players they're bringing in, I'm not really sure with the transfer policy. Sort of 30-plus players like Jovetic and Kevin Prince-Boateng. Now they've got Belfodil as well, who I thought was a bit of an underwhelming signing up front. They're back to playing Davy Zelka. Don't know what you think, Roy. Are you concerned for Hertha? They've got sitting at the bottom with no points.
You just said Davy Zelka and I laugh. Sorry, I generally didn't. it's concerning. And what I think is more concerning is Lukaku going to Wolfsburg on loan yesterday. That is mad. That's a mad sign. Surely they could have been doing with Lukaku.
You started their last two games and then you've loaned them out. Well, what are they doing?
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't really understand it from a transfer point, but I've not rated him at Hertha. I thought he was really good at Fortuna, but probably maybe benefited from being in a side with lower expectations. The side was him and Rahman were the star players of the team, but I think there's a bit more, there's more big names at Hertha, and I don't think he's really stood out as much. He's just been inconsistent. Just a strange transfer. I think some of their signings have been okay. I like the signing of Marco Richter, for instance, but in terms of the long term, I don't really know where they're going. I'm not sure if the investment's dried up a wee bit. They had Lars Windhorst pouring in money the last couple of seasons, but the signings this year haven't really matched the value of previous. So I don't know if the investment's slightly drying up. I'm not sure if Dardai is the best coach. I mean, I thought he was the right man to bring them in, to bring in at the end of last season to try and keep them up, but he doesn't really match the expectations. If they wanted to be like a European chasing side, I'm not sure he's the best man to do that. But
thing is, I don't know. Two games. If they don't win their next two games, which is Bochum and Fürth, then some serious questions kind of going to have to be going on to Hertha, and I think Dardai would be out of job. Obviously, he's going to be out of job if he loses his first 5 games. But if he didn't manage to get 6 points in the next 2 games, I think that's starting to look really bad for the club as well. But that's not going to be. That'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I think the international breaks come at a wrong time, to be honest, because I think with losing the first 3 games, fair enough, they were. Yeah, playing Bayern, I mean, the manner the loss was obviously bad, but you don't expect to take anything there, and you want to quickly bounce back from that, and you thought Bochum and Fürth would be the ideal place to do that, the ideal games to do that, but they're now having to wait for an international break. It really prolongs a period where they're just sitting at the bottom with no points, but there's a lot more optimism, Ronan and the other side of Berlin and Kupanik going on with very impressive 2-1 win over Gladbach. Really, with the European qualification, the unbeaten start to the league, there's a great mood on the other side of Berlin. I don't know.
Yeah, there seems to be a real kind of feel-good factor around Union at the moment, and it's kind of translates to the way they're playing at the moment as well. They were pretty comfortable against Gladbach on Sunday, I thought. Kruse and Awoniyi were really good up front together. Gieselman seems to have come in and kind of, well, he got a goal as well and kind of stepped in from them when they lost Christopher Lenz, he's done a good job so far. Their recruitment seems to be quite good as well. Like to Haraguchi, thought he was quite impressive at the weekend as well. So they just seem to be kind of just going from strength to strength, really.
Yeah, I mean, the signs, I saw they signed Bastian Achipka as well, who was obviously, I mean, he latterly struggled at Schalke, which was obviously difficult circumstances. But they seem to, even those sort of players that maybe underperformed at previous clubs, they do seem to do well with those players and develop them. Even players coming from the second division, it seems like the best club to make that jump from Zweite Bundesliga to Bundesliga. You've seen players do that. And the squad, like Friedrich and Promo, who've performed at that lower level. And yeah, Kruse and Aoni, that's just a great partnership. Kruse are just fantastic players to watch. Some of the passes he can play, brilliant. And Aoni seems to be maturing as a striker. Roy, what do you think? I mean, Gladbach, it's been an underwhelming start for Adi Hütter, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think I mentioned that I wasn't really looking with them either, forward with them going into the season. I think I came out wrong, but you know what I'm trying to say. I wasn't really positive about them, is what I was trying to say. I don't know. I just think it might just take a while to click. I think a lot of the transfer talk would be like Hoffman maybe leaving might have dampened their things a wee bit. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem to have clicked yet. And that's a result that doesn't look good for them, to be honest. Considering how well they played against Bayern, it's not really kicked on since that. And it's going to be interesting to see how they turn it around. But you can only really look at the positives from anyone from that game, I think.
Yeah, I saw Joe Scally's interview where it sounded a bit bitter, but things he was saying, how Gladbach dominated the game and Union only had two chances and took them and then won the game. But look, I mean, that's what Union do. They quite often don't have the possession, but they're so clinical with those attacking players that they've got. They make the most of their opportunities. And Gladbach, you've got better resources. You should have better players. You have to take advantage of that and get a result, which they didn't do. But moving on from that game, I thought that was an entertaining game. Wolfsburg-Leipzig, not so much. Wolfsburg are the Spitzenreiter league leaders, 3 wins from 3, but it's fair to say in quite an ugly fashion. They like winning ugly. Ronan, were you impressed by Wolfsburg? Were you entertained by that?
I don't know if I would say like entertained would be the word. I think maybe people expected that there would be a kind of change in their style of play with a new manager coming in, but it doesn't seem to have really translated as of yet. But you can see at the end when the full-time whistle went, how much it meant to them that they won that game. And they have put together a really strong squad. I was just double-checking just now, just as we're recording, like 10 minutes ago, shows that Brekalo's went out on loan to Torino, which is a bit of a strange one, but maybe that's what Luka Bakio coming to replace. But they look good so far, but maybe the best is still yet to come with the style of play as well, because it's still quite similar to last year, when I think a lot of people thought it would be a bit more free-flowing and attacking with a new boss.
Yeah, that was sort of my main thought from it, that Van Bommel sort of continued the work of Glasner. They're not really bothered about the perception from outside. They're not really bothered about entertaining people. They're just effective. And I mean, fair play, they're out of the cup because, as George said previously, they can't count the six, but they've done well in the league so far, and they've got a favourable Champions League group as well, so they could do well in that as well. But Leipzig, Roy, that's a loss. Silva hasn't really kicked on, but do you think it's a case of once he starts firing, the side will improve as well?
Well, yeah, it's Slava's lie as well. Once he's like, I know he got on the score sheet last week, but I think just once the pivotal players start playing, and you know, you've got Dani Olmo focused again. He had a really long summer playing at the Euros and the Olympics and stuff. So I think when the kind of main players are there, I really like the look at Simakin. Is it Simakin? Sorry, I Look at that.
Simakan, the centre back.
Thank you, sorry. Simakan, really, really impressed with the guy Simakan so far as well. I think he's looked good since he's came in. I think it's just, and it's obviously, you know, you've got Jesse Marsh, who's like taking a big step up from the Austrian Bundesliga as well. So it's just going to take time to gel, but I still think that that squad's to get the quality in it, they'll turn around. But yeah, that's. It's hard to say much about Wolfsburg, like you were saying. It's just they just play ugly and they win ugly and their kit's ugly and their city's ugly. Nothing. Ugly goal song. Yeah, I don't know. But I do agree. I saw a tweet today. I can't remember who it was. So I'm sorry that I'm going to steal your tweet. But I was saying that, like, let's just see how long Mark Van Bommel can hold it out, because it's been came out before that he's only got a plan A, and when plan A is working, it goes well. But when plan A doesn't work, that's when you figure out what's going to happen to the Wolfsburg. So don't know who tweeted though there. Sorry, I can't remember who it was, or I would quote them. But yeah, that's what they were saying. So I'd be interested to see if that actually plays out with Wolfsburg. But I mean, it's a game that I looked at and went, I'm not watching that.
Nah. I watched it. I mean, it wasn't pretty, even on paper. I mean, you think about it, it's two like Champions League sides, two of the best sides in the league, but it's still Wolfsburg versus Leipzig. It's still El Plastico, so it doesn't look the most attractive. What do you think? I mean, not really been mentioned. Ronan, the transfer of Sabitzer to Bayern, he's not really been playing so far this season with the speculation surrounding him. Do you think it'll be a big loss?
Potentially, but when you look at the options that Leipzig have got, that maybe that's one of the issues they've had, is that Jesse Marsh doesn't know his best team yet, especially in midfield. Just looking at the options, you've got Tyler Adams, Haidara, Campbell, Leimer, Nkunku, Olmo, Szoboszlai, Forsberg, and now they've just, well, kind of replaced Sabitzer with Ilyax Moriba from Barcelona. For if anyone plays Football Manager, will know that he's an absolute god in that game. So he's as good as he is in that in real life, and they've got themselves a player. But no, Sabitzer, even like the money involved in the deal as well, only like 15 million, that's an absolute bargain. But I mean, I don't really know what to expect from Leipzig this year, because they've lost their manager, lost their best defender, and lost arguably their best midfielder as well. So I don't know. I don't think it'll bother people if they have a bad year as well. So
thinking about, was it? I was looking up the transfer fee. Said it's about half the fee of what Daniel James went for, and just comparing some of the prices that players in Germany go for compared to the inflated prices of the Premier League. I don't know. It just makes me quite annoyed. But I suppose that is the transfer model for Leipzig, that they buy players at a young age and sell them on. Although you'd have thought with a player like him, how outstanding he's been, they'd make more of a profit. But not to be. So that ties up the Bundesliga games. A few interesting games, a few entertaining wins. And there's some notable results in the Zweite Liga as well. So probably not the most entertaining. Heidenheim versus HSV, Roy. How did that go? Was that entertaining? Thumbs up. Move on from that.
No, it was a game that HSV dominated possession wise, and they had the bar like three times. Finding themselves with the bar. It looked like a game that the goalkeepers were just going to always come out top in, and it's just something that both teams are kind of needing at the moment, is goals. So it'll be interesting to see how they move on from that game, but. I think it's getting better at HSV. That's all kind of point. I think that the system's coming together a bit better now. But it was a interesting nothing East draw to work on. It was not the most entertaining Saturday afternoon. Straight away turned on the TV and Iago's put that own goal in, which has made it a wee bit easier for me.
Very very diplomatic. What about you like your Werder Bremen, Ronan? Marvin Ducks just come in, scored a doppelpack. Although there's been such a negative feeling around Werder recently with so many of the players that they've lost. So it's good that they've got Ducks in and they've come away a win at the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, having someone like that to come in straight away and make a difference is pretty important. Just looking at his goal record the last couple of years, hit 15 goals and 16 goals in the last 2 years at Hanover. So he's someone they can probably rely on to hit 10 to 15 goals again, and being supported by like Füllkrug as well should make certainly a difference for them going the right direction. And I think they added another right back as well. I mentioned at the start of the season that was an issue they needed to rectify, and brought in Mitchell Weiser on loan from Leverkusen today. So should hopefully help things. And that win at the weekend against newly promoted Rostock maybe make them turn a corner a bit, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think most neutrals want to see Werder back up as quickly as possible, but Rostock probably are one of the weakest sides in the league. But it's still a convincing win, and the mood around the big clubs was lifted this week. Schalke managed to win as well. First home league win of the season, I think it was, against Dusseldorf. Any takeaway from that, Roy? Tyrod and Bülter, they seem to have struck up quite a good partnership.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think just to get Tyrod back scoring goals again is what Schalke generally need. That's all they need. If you want to do well in the Bundesliga, if you want to do well in the Zweite Bundesliga, and you've got Tyrod, you don't really need to do much. He's definitely going to bag the 20 goals. It's just guaranteed. So I think if they just keep him happy, keep him scoring goals, they're not going to be... I still don't think they're going to outright win the league. I don't know. There's just something about them just makes me think they're not going to go and outright win the league. Made some decent signings recently, but I still think that inexperience of the league in recent times, where it does get a bit messy, and some teams do struggle. I'm not going to mention names. When it comes to that messy end of the season, that they might fall into that trap. But then I've still got that mindset just from what I've seen from them so far this season. So I wouldn't take too much from this win over Düsseldorf, because I actually think Düsseldorf have been quite disappointing so far this season. So I wouldn't go into too much, but the fact that Tyrod's scoring goals is just, you can't complain with that.
Yeah, I think Fortuna's poor start to the season has sort of gone under the radar, with the other clubs in the league getting more of the headlines. They won the first game, but it's been poor since then. But just elsewhere in the league, I mean, Nuremberg, another big club, they've continued their unbeaten start. They beat Karlsruhe at home, so that was good for them. And go start winning Zantos. And some of the early strugglers, Kiel and Darmstadt, with convincing wins at home. Hanover with the Darmstadt losing 4-0, which perhaps the opposite Marvin Ducks effect, that they've lost them and they're suffering from that. Schalke and Werder winning, as I said. Dresden, who had made such a good start, lost 3-0 home to Paderborn. But Paderborn do look like they will be one of the stronger sides in the league so far this year. Lukas Kwasniok, the coach, has done well, fitting in, replacing Stefan Baumgart. And finally, St. Pauli beat Jan Regensburg. And I think we all breathe a sigh of relief, because Regensburg have lost.
No. A sigh of relief. Not one to see Jan in the Bundesliga.
Nah, that's harsh. I'm not.
Imagine like if in the Bundesliga next year, that'd be brilliant. Did you do better or worse than Fürth have so far?
Worse.
Yeah.
They'd be proper weapons. That's the shame, that when it comes to that, if a team like Jan did do that, like, they've not got the capacity to go and do anything with it. And like, they're really, really lucky with young players and things like that. So it's disappointing that it could come to that. But yeah, I think that's them on the way down now. I think similar to Augsburg, start of the season last year, I remember Augsburg were top of the league after 3 or 4 games in the Bundesliga, and then they nearly got relegated. So I think it's going to be similar
perhaps,
to that story.
Perhaps a false start for Jan, but good for St. Pauli. Anyway, that wraps up the match day roundup. We don't have our Dritte Liga expert, so we'll leave the third division this week. But when George is back.
Why he's gone. I think that's why he's gone, because at 1860 they're doing so poorly. He's been
underwhelming.
Ronan's never here when Vader Bremen are losing. Vader Bremen win a game and Ronan's here. And then 1860 start losing games and George disappears. This is terrible.
George must have had a bad fantasy week. So.
I actually think he did okay, because I looked at ours and you did the worst out of all of us, Colin. So
I'm still sixth in the league or something. I've not changed my team since I made it before the first match.
Excuses already. He's one of those ones.
Lack of commitment to fantasy football. In protest, that's why I don't. That's what I've said before, that I'm not a huge fan of fantasy football. So in protest, that's why I've not made any transfers. And if I finish last, then so be it. Anyway, we'll move on to our quiz following the match day roundup. And it's Roy that's got a wee quiz for us. What have you got in store for us?
Just something simple this week, since we were all quite frantic getting on the recording tonight. Well, some of us were frantic. I think we're all quite busy this week and getting back to doing things as normal. We don't want to miss the Scotland game tomorrow, of course, with how many players? 10 players actually available in the Scottish team tomorrow. So whipped up something quite quickly. If I have to go to a tie break, I just realised that I didn't plan enough that it could go to a tie break. So I will think of a tie break while we're doing it. But I'm revisiting. I think we did it with Matt Theoneva at one point, and I think we did it ourselves. But it's basically just going through the careers of certain players, and you have to guess the player. Colin looks so disappointed by that. He clearly
that was a nightmare lost. Last time. Remember, it was like Kevin Campo, and it was like Osnabrück.
Well, let's just see who we get this time. Right, two of them I've got kind of short careers, so I'll get them first, and then we'll get two journeymen to kick us off. So we'll get four here. If it's two all, I'll quickly get a new player and we'll see how we can get a tiebreaker, but we'll see how it goes. I think Ronan was quite good at this last thing, not to put the pressure on you, but we'll see how it goes. All right, are you ready?
Yep.
So we'll start with, remember, you can just shout out if you want to pass, to go to the next one, just say pass. If you want to have a guess, We'll not give you any lives for guessing. We'll just kind of keep it going, make it quite easy, but we'll see who gets it first, all right? So first player started his career in 2008, stayed until 2010 at SC Borussia Dresden.
Pass.
Yeah.
No one knows of Borussia Dresden, come on. Okay, he then made a move to the Dynamo Dresden second team from 2010-2014, where he played 53 games for the second team and 3 goals. He then played 21 times for the first team during this time as well, 2010-2014.
Tony Leisner.
Yeah, there we go. Early one. How did you get that from his 3 goals?
From the fact that we were talking about him an hour ago. Really? Must have been in your mind.
Oh, yes. So, yeah.
He's left Hamburg.
Yeah, but so it was Borussia Dresden, Dynamo Dresden. He had a loan spell at Halle. He then went to Union Berlin for 4 years, Queen's Park Rangers, a loan spell at FC Köln, which we'll kindly forget about, and just recently finished up with a year at Asphalt. Okay, so 1-0 to Colin. Second player. This one's a short one, so we'll just see how you got on with this one, okay? Started his career in 2010-2014. At Sturm Graz, played 98 games and 15 goals.
Pass from Sturm Graz.
Sturm Graz, we're not big Sturm Graz fans. Okay, he then made the move from 2014-2016 for Rapid Wien, Rapid Vienna, 65 appearances, 11 goals. All going by Wikipedia, remember, so this may be wrong.
Rapid.
I'll just pass again.
Pass, yeah.
Rapid Vienna. Okay. We've not got many lines left, so you're going to have to guess soon. He then made the move to the Bundesliga eventually. Obviously, he's not an only, just an Austrian Bundesliga player.
He played for 2016-2019 at Werder Bremen for 52 games and 5 goals.
14 times.
1-1. Yep. His next move was to Efter FC Köln, but he's still there and scored recently, didn't he? Or he's been playing well recently anyway. 53 games so far and 8 goals for Florian Kainz. So it's Colin 1, Ronan 1. What? Who did you guess?
Junuzovic.
Yeah, Junuzovic. Not bad.
Oh, yeah.
But no, wrong. Sorry.
He was at Verda earlier than that.
Okay, ready for the third one? This could be an interesting one. Go into the last one, see who's going to tip it. In 2003 to 2004, he played 10 games, scoring 9 goals for St. Louis Strikers.
Pass.
2004, he made the move to Chicago Fire. Second team. 3 games, 3 goals. On form, this guy.
He's prolific, isn't he?
Absolutely. I'm assuming this is a no so far, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. He then made the move to Paris Saint-Germain, 2004-2006. Played 4 games, no goals. He lost his profitness.
What?
Nah, don't know.
Played Louis, Chicago Fire, PSG.
Jesse Marsh.
No.
Sorry. Because he must be old.
Well, we move on to the next one.
Yeah.
He had a loan spell at my favourite type of mustard, Dijon. 33 appearances, 10 goals. Not my favourite type of mustard, I just wanted to make that shit joke. Dijon, 33 pass. Games, 10 goals. Okay, pass. We're not... His bell with up to speed with our MLS to league and strikers. Oh, or maybe he's not a striker.
Striker.
Maybe
he's not
a striker. I mean, he's 9 and 10, 3 and 3.
Okay, right. So will we finally get him to play some German football then? Will that make it easier for you?
Yes.
Obviously. He scored 6 goals. 24 games for Die Kartoffel Käfer, Alemannia Aachen.
Oh, it's Vedad Ibisevic.
Well done. Vedad Ibisevic.
Because he I don't know if he played for PSG.
Played 4 games for PSG, apparently.
Yeah, moved really to going the US.
Then made the move to Aachen 9 and 9, like Hoffenheim, where he spent most of his career. And then he played at Stuttgart for a few years on loan to Hertha before he made that move permanent, and then he had that weird move to FC Schalke on Ophir, where he only played 4 games before he got kicked out. So last player, Colin, you're in the lead here, so if you get this we don't go to tie break, which would be nice, because I need to find another player quickly, or if Ronan, I'm not wanting you to win, but if you win we'll go to a tie break. Last player started his career in 2004-2007, Hertha BSC, played 29 games for the second team, scoring 5 goals, played 42 times for the first team, scoring 4 goals within this time.
Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Oh, wow.
What a guess. He's got the heavy. This guy has the longest career and you got in the first fucking one. Okay, so yes,
I just thought he'd be some. I knew he started at Hertha around about mid 2000s, and he'd be someone that's on your mind because he's just signed for him.
Good point. Yeah,
I know how your mind works. This is how it goes.
This is how it goes exactly. He then made the move to Tottenham Hotspur, 2007-2009. Had a loan spell at Borussia Dortmund, which I really don't remember. In 2009, played 10 games. Was at the famous Pompey Portsmouth for 22 games, 3 goals. Apparently went to Genoa, didn't play. AC Milan, Schalke 04, back to AC Milan, Las Palmas, going for a bit of the sun, Eintracht Frankfurt, Sassuolo, Barcelona, weird loan move, Fiorentina, Besiktas, another weird loan move, went for the money in Monza and came back for the money in Hertha BSC. What a career that guy had, and you got to the fucking first one. To be fair, once I said Tottenham, I think you both would have probably locked on. But well done, Colin. A wee 3-1 victory on your on the quiz return.
Shows that my knowledge goes nowhere past fantasy football. Kind and no one else.
He only knows his Austrian players.
We all have, I mean, we all have our strengths. Some of us have our strengths in quizzes, others have it in fantasy football. I definitely don't have it in fantasy football. But my excuse is that I never make transfers, so we'll put it down to that. And if I finish the lowest out of all the podcasters, then that'll be why. Anyway, another good quiz. I was probably better than your last one in the same format, Roy, to be fair.
I mean, Max Brewer was the last one, so I don't know how it's worse.
So, yep, no Bundesliga next week. International break. Hopefully, you don't miss the league too much and enjoy the international football, and we'll see you later.